So tonight we're going to walk into our fourth and Bezat Hashem final shir on Malacha Borer, right? The Malacha of Borer. Remember, last week we discussed what is the shir la'altar, how much time, different things that come up in the Hagdara of what is Miyad, right? We had Miyad, Biyad, La'achila. So last week we discussed the Hagdara of Miyad, the immediate usage, six different opinions in the Rishonim, three of which were Machloket in how to understand the Rabbeinu Yerucham. Okay? Then we discussed a little bit, based off of that, the Machloket Chazon Ish Mishneh Brura, what happens if I have a fly in my soup? What's going to happen there? Is there going to be a case where, if it's a lot easier, am I allowed to take out the little bit of psolet from a lot of food, if that's going to be easier, right? That discussion in the Ramban and the Tor, that we don't generally paskin like. And tonight, we are going to shift with our last shir in Malacha Borer, we're going to try and cover some of the very common shilas that come up when we are dealing with Malacha Borer in a weekly fashion in our homes around our Shabbos table when these things come up that we haven't discussed before. So I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, anyone here where you go to the bakery, you buy challah, and what's sometimes on the challah? Not sesame seeds, yes, sesame seeds, welcome to Israel. For those that are allergic, I apologize. But often you'll find sometimes bakeries, they like to put this like sticker on the bakery, on the challah that says like what bakery it was made of. Yeah. A lot of times there's these little stickers, they put it on the challah, so that everyone knows, right? Often we buy, at home, we buy Vizhnitz challahs from the Vizhnitz bakery in Bnei Brak. So they always have on the challah this sticker that says like Mafiat HaTzvi, or Angels, or Mafia Neman. Often they'll put little stickers on the challah that say, you know, the name of the bakery. It's free advertising. You're going to have guests over for Shabbos. Everyone sees you got these beautiful challahs there, and they're going to say, ooh, Angels, ooh, Mafia Neman, that's good stuff, right? Vizhnitz challah, everyone loves a good Vizhnitz challah, okay? So the question is, what's going to be the case, right? Anyone here eat stickers? Anyone eat paper? Okay, so let's assume Rov B'nai Adam don't eat paper. You know, everyone has, you know, there's always like that guy who like eats bugs. Same thing with those.
I'm pretty sure that the stickers on apples are edible, like on fruit, you know? So
I don't think so.
I heard that they're edible.
I don't think that's true, and I wouldn't test it at home, but the same question will apply. Yeah, so let's assume the same question would apply with an apple, right? If I have a sticker on an apple, what's going to be the case? Can I remove the sticker that's on the apple or the sticker on the challah on Shabbos or not? So al panav, I would think, that's definitely biyad, right? You use your hand to take off a sticker. I don't know of any, like, special sticker removal tools, right? A klim yuchad for sticker removal. I'm not familiar with anything like that. I don't know, maybe they've got, like, the envelope opener. So, like, you take that little, you know, that, like, cool-looking sword thing that people have on their desk to open envelopes. You use that to remove a sticker. I don't know, maybe. Okay? It's definitely going to be miyad because you're doing it in order to eat the apple or to eat the challah. The question is that going to be called la'achila? Here, this is seemingly going to be a classic case where I want to remove the sticker. If I remove the sticker, then that's going to be removing the psolet from the ochel. Okay? So the Shemira Shabbos, as a result, wrote that you cannot remove the bakery's label or the sticker, the apple sticker, from the challah because that's going to be taking psolet from ochel. So then the question is, well, now what do? I want to eat the challah, but I have this sticker there. So we say, based on what we discussed last week, the Mishneh Berurah Chazon Ish, that what do you do, Shemira Shabbos says, you can take off the sticker with a little bit of challah around it, right? You take off a little bit of the crust, you take off a little bit of the challah with the sticker, that's going to be fine because you're removing it with a little bit of the challah. So that's removing the psolet with a little bit of ochel. The Mishneh Berurah would say that's for sure mutter. The Chazon Ish, Lechora would say, you'd have to take off a more sizable or nikar, noticeable piece of challah, so it doesn't look like you're just taking off the sticker with a little bit of crust around it. It should have a little bit of challah. There, though, in particular, I would think b'svara to be mekel, like the Mishneh Berurah, because of chashivas apat, we generally don't want to throw out bread. There's a special din not to throw out bread, right? If you throw out bread, you have to put it in a bag. You have to wrap it first, not put it directly in the garbage, because bread has a chashivas. So lechora, there's definitely room here for sure to be mekel like the Mishneh Berurah, which seems to be the mainstream opinion, specifically here regarding bread. Okay? It's what's the one caveat one needs to know that applies to the bakery sticker on the challah that doesn't apply to your case regarding the apple, right? The apple, you should take off a little bit of the apple with the sticker as well. What's going to be the nafkamina between challah stickers versus apple stickers? Lechem Mishnah. How, if I take off the sticker with some of the challah, now I don't have lechem Mishnah. I don't have shalem, right? We know there's a mitzvah to have two whole challahs at the meal. So the minute I take off the sticker with some of the challah, that's going to break my din of shalim. So what do we do?
You first,
exactly. First, I make motzi with the sticker on it, right? I cut from the side. Generally, the sticker's on an end. I haven't seen a challah where they put like one of these huge stickers on it. That would just be weird and problematic. Okay, so generally though, they're on the top, on the side, because they do it for publicity. They want everyone to know. I discussed this once with my uncle, and he was like, no, they only put it on Mizonos rolls, which isn't true. Whether we hold by Mizonos rolls or not, that's a different share for a different topic in Hilchos Brachos. But Mizonos rolls also often have them. Ask your local posek for what they hold regarding Mizonos rolls, or they're just hamotzi in a fancy name that has fruit juice and a little bit sweeter. Generally, they don't even taste different. But, so, in general, we say because of the aspect of Lechem Mishnah, you should make motzi, cut the challah, and just cut around, right? Avoid the piece that has the sticker cut from the other end, and then you're fine. And after, now, post-motzi, I already had Lechem Mishnah for motzi, now I can go forward and remove the sticker with a little bit of bread on it. This is so, too, the opinion of the Orcho Shabbos. Okay? So, the Orcho Shabbos actually brings in a footnote. Unlike what I said before, right? Remember before I said the Mishnah Berurah would say, so long as there's a little bit of crust, that's fine. And I said the Chazon Ish, we would think, based on the Chazon Ish we saw last week, I would have to remove a sizable or a noticeable piece of challah with it, right? Because the Chazon Ish had a problem saying, no, that's problematic. That's Tikkun HaMachal to remove the fly with just one scoop of soup. You would need to, like, pour out half and half. So the Orcho Shabbos brings in a footnote, right? Rav Gelber, Rav Petrover, Shlita, right? The Orcho Shabbos says in a footnote, the Chazon Ish would agree, unlike what I said before, he wanted to say the Chazon Ish would agree that so long as you take a little bit of crust with the sticker, that would be fine. And it's inherently different. Why? Because the Chazon Ish said, right, he brings in a footnote, V'afa Chazon Ish lo yitir hotzat psolini ma'at ochel ha'chashari, kevan sha'tavit enu nechshevet me'urevet ela imakom bo hayad dvuka. Okay? What's the difference? With the fly in the bowl of soup, it's all mixed together, right? The fly is floating in my soup. The fly could be anywhere in the soup. What's the case with a sticker? The sticker is not actually mixed in with the challah. What's a sticker? It's stuck on top of the challah. There's no tarovet, sticker plus challah. Thus, the Chazon Ish would say, so long as I take off the sticker with a little bit of crust, I don't need to be makbid to take off a noticeable piece of challah, because it's not, there's no tairoves, right? If we go into Helchos Yoredeya, Dini Kashrus, what's in the Helchos tairoves, right? Simon, right? Tzadibet, Kuf Yer Aleph, right? In Yoredeya. All the discussions in what's a tairovet, what's not a tairovet. Here, the Chazon Ish says, this isn't even called a tairovet. No problem, so long as you take it off. So this is connected to what I said before, the Orcho Shabbos, Katonti. I'm not going to disagree with the Orcho Shabbos, but he wants to say, for the Chazon Ish and for the Mishnah Berurah, the Kulei Alma, you just take off the sticker with a little bit of the crust around it, and we should be makbid to do so after we make motzi, because we want to make sure and ensure that we have lechem mishnah. Great. Now the next thing we're going to deal with, and this is a... Yeah. We'll discuss that when we get to kosher, tofer, etc. Yeah, we'll discuss that in a different malacha. When we discuss, I don't remember what we're doing next after this. I think we might be doing Kotev Mochek, and then after that in the Makoro Sheets, I think I have planned Tofer, Korea, Kosher, Matir. Those four come together. We'll discuss it there. Okay, because the Rambam has all the Chiddush of Hadbaka, etc., how that applies, yeah, for sure. Okay, Kiluv Peros V'Yerakos. What's going to be the din of peeling fruits and vegetables, right? I debate, right? My wife prefers to peel cucumbers. I prefer leaving the skin on cucumbers, right? The whole purpose of a cucumber is it's got that wonderful crunch. When you take off the peel, you lose 90% of the crunch, and also most of the nutrients are in the peel, right? So everyone knows the peel is the best part of a cucumber, right? Okay, maybe you could argue and say that's a horrible take, but that's at least my personal opinion on cucumbers. So the Beis Yosef has a whole discussion. We have a whole discussion. Can I peel vegetables on Shabbos? That's question one. Am I allowed to actually peel them? I would think, what's peeling a vegetable or a fruit? That's removing the psola from the ochel, right? I don't want to eat the skin of a carrot or the skin of a cucumber or the skin of a pepper or an apple, whatever it is. So I'm peeling it to take it off.
Does anyone peel peppers?
I almost said peppers.
You did say peppers.
Oh, in my head I said peppers, and I thought I changed that to potatoes. Because I was like, I don't think anyone does that. I guess I changed it in my head.
I was wondering if
I don't know, but someone asked me a shayla in Basar V'Chalav, because apparently he asked me, they boil tomatoes to then peel the tomatoes before making a sauce. And they boiled their tomatoes in a dairy bowl, but they wanted to make a sauce for meatballs. Are they allowed to do that? And I was like, what's wrong with you? Who boils like tomatoes to peel them? Whatever. That was a different shayla. I was just like, yeah, but who peels a tomato? Whatever. Let's get back on topic. I was very, very confused by the shayla. I was like, the metzias makes no sense here, but it was a weird shayla. Let's get back on topic and hold off on questions because I want to finish. Can we see the makaros I'm peeling and then we'll deal with the question?
Is it different if it's like a fruit that, like, you know, watermelon or a melon that, like, you just can't eat the peel?
For sure. Okay. We're going to get to that. We're going to discuss that.
What if it's like a mango that you can't
We're going to get to all this. So the question we're going to have to deal with is, how do I deal with peeling fruits and vegetables? It would seem to be that when I peel the skin off, that's because I want to remove the skin. That's removing the psolet from the ochel. That's question one. Two, 1A, is the question that was just brought up. Is there going to be a difference between edible fruits, skins, right? People eat apples with skins. People eat apples without skins, right? I don't know anyone that eats coconut shells, right? You should see a dentist if you do. And also probably a psychologist along the way, because that's probably really, like, self-detrimental. That's, like, really harmful, probably, to eat coconut shells. But point is, so there's going to be two different aspects here. Aspect one is, hotzat psolet mina ochel. Is there going to be a difference between derech ha'olam is to eat, derech ha'olam is not to eat? And then breaking off from that is going to be a question called, well, am I allowed to use a peeler, right? Everyone knows what, like, a fruit or vegetable peeler is. Those, like, that little, like, rectangular blade that has a hole in the middle with knives angled in, so it removes the peel wonderfully. Am I going to understand that a peeler is going to be called a kli miyuchad lebreira, right? That's a special kli that I only use to remove vegetable peels or fruit peels. That's called a peeler, right? It's a special name for a kli miyuchad. Or do I say no? A peeler, it's just a knife in a funky shape. That's not like a kli miyuchad. A kli miyuchad is, you know, one of those fancy electric, you know, those things where you put in the apple and it spins and there's like a knife that peels it perfectly. That, l'kuleyama, would be a kli miyuchad. But a peeler, it's not anything fancy. It's just a knife in a weird shape. That's going to be our discussion now. So let's see. The Beis Yosef and Shin Kavala Yotet discusses whether, based on the Yerushalmi. He says, the Yerushalmi understands that removing skins and peels of fruits and vegetables is a chi of dioraita because of borer. That's what's up. Psalm in ochel. L'kuleyama, Yerushalmi, iser dioraita. You can never peel your fruits and vegetables on Shabbos. Okay, this goes back to what we discussed last week. Always it's best when you can to do as much hachana for your meal as you can on Erev Shabbos, right? Always try and wash your lettuce before Shabbos, and if you can, cut up your vegetables before Shabbos, etc. Always makes life easier, right? Part of Shabbos is Menuchas HaNefesh, right? It's a day, right? Learning on Shabbos, Ela Lilimu Torah, right? It's a day where we're supposed to enjoy Torah, learn Torah, talk in Torah, sing Zmiros, wonderful Oneg Shabbos, right? No one has Oneg Shabbos cutting up salad before their meal. Oneg Shabbos is learning a nice Shilas and Shuvas, the Igros Moshe, before your meal, or a wonderful discussion on the Parsha. That's what Shabbos is about. So ideally, you want to do it beforehand. The Yerushalmi Isser Dioraita to remove the fruits and vegetables before your skin. But the Smak, Rabbeinu Chananel and Sefer Truma say no. There's no Isser of Borer when you peel it immediately. The Yerushalmi was only discussing a case where you're doing borer la'otzer, right? I'm peeling my potatoes to put in the warehouse, right? I peel all my, right? People who peel garlic. I know someone in Israel, they sell the Chinese garlic, right? The white garlic you buy in the store. That's from China. They sell once a year. There's a very short season where they sell fresh Israeli garlic. It's delicious. It's much more expensive. I never buy it. But I know people who explicitly only buy the Israeli garlic because it's significantly better. It's healthier, whatever. Okay? It's not bleached. Etc. So, what do? You want to store it for the rest of the year. Garlic is good for a while, but it's not going to stay good in your pantry for the next 8 months. So what do people do? They prep it, they remove it from the, like, little shell or whatever, the klipa daka, the thin shell, the little skin from the garlic. They put it in olive oil, in a glass jar in olive oil, and they freeze it, and it'll stay good. Okay, so they're going to say, that's what your Yerushalmi is dealing with. I'm peeling something to then put it away. I'm peeling my garlic to then put it away for the next few months. That would be usher on Shabbos. And the Smak, Sefer Truma, and Rabbeinu Chananel are saying, so long as I plan to eat it now, that's for sure fine, right? I'm peeling a carrot to dip my carrots in hummus for right now. That is going to be called borer miyad, and that's going to be mutter. So the Yerushalmi and Yerushalmi, laotzer is bad, miyad is going to be mutter. Okay, Rabbeinu Yerucham disagrees, and he explained the Yerushalmi only forbade peeling things in order to mash them, right? If the goal is I'm peeling it in order to now mash it up, right? I'm peeling the banana in order to make baby food, different discussion, or I'm peeling the potatoes in order to mash and make baked potatoes. I mean, I guess I can't bake it. I cook them whole. Now I take it out, and I want to peel it before I mash it. So you'd say, the Yerushalmi would say, that would be a problem. Right? It's specifically dealing with mashing. And Rabbeinu Peretz actually said very differently that, no, you can peel a small number of fruits, but you can't peel a lot. You'd say a incredible ramification from Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz holds that would even be true, and this is basically what it clarifies, that would even be true if I'm hosting a lot of people. What if I'm having 30 people over for a Shabbos meal, right? Post-COVID, we're all going to survive our 30-person gathering, and I want to peel all the carrots for the dip tray, okay? Rabbeinu Peretz would say, you couldn't do that. It's not subjective based on the number of people. It's a small amount versus a lot. So you could peel enough for, you know, yourself, maybe one other person, but you can't peel for the entire group. That's, you'd say, from Rabbeinu Peretz. So it ends up being that Rov Rishonim understand the Yerushalmi. They came to the limit of the Yerushalmi. Either it's dealing with mashing or it's dealing with laotzer versus miyad, except for Rabbeinu Peretz, who had this thing of the amount, etc. So, okay, halacha lemaisa, the Ramah paskins, that, like Rov Rishonim, like the Rabbeinu Yerucha, the Rabbeinu Chanan al Smag, Sefer Chuma, the Ramah paskins and Shin Chaval of Yotet, that it would be usher to peel, right, your vegetables, right, your shumim, b'salim, your garlic, and your onions. Kshekolev vaniach, when I plan to peel it, to put it away, right, I want to store my garlic for the winter, or whatever other vegetable you're dealing with. Like people, you're peeling all of your vegetables to pickle them so they'll be good for the next season, right, to get you through the winter. Let's just say, right, you have a log cabin, you pickle all your vegetables in order that they should stay through the winter because you don't have any other way to get food because the local road of transportation, it's covered in snow, whatever it is. I am, you know, America in like the 1800s type of picture from like, you know, U.S. history in high school, right? That type of situation, you're not going to be able to get food, so you pickle everything. So on Shabbos, the Ramah would say, like Rav Rishonim, you can't start peeling everything in order to have for the week or for the rest of the winter, but if you're planning to peel something, even if it's going to be a lot for the amount of guests you currently have, that would be acceptable. Okay, that's the opinion of the Ramah based on Rav Rishonim. The Magen Avraham wrote based on this, B'shem Maharshal, Maharshal in his Sefer Yamshel Shlomo, writes that if fruits and vegetables are peeled, the peels are called minechad, right? Before we begin the whole discussion of peeling, do I view the peel as an intrinsic part of the food, and thus it's all called ochel, or do I view it as two separate things, right? Is the cucumber peel, is that called cucumber, or is that called skin of cucumber, right? Is that called onion, or is that called skin of onion? Right? Is that a carrot or is that a carrot peel? So the Magen Avraham, B'shem the Marshal, in the opinion of the Marshal, says, no, it's all considered min echad. It's all one. I'm not sure, actually, if he would say this is true for onions or garlic, where it falls off on its own, whereas in a carrot, a potato, a cucumber, it's intrinsic tomato for those crazy enough to peel, right? That's intrinsically one thing, okay? So there, he says, removing the peel is never going to be called borer because it's tikkun ha-machal, right? Because it's all part of the food. It's like, that's just nor as it's all part of the food. There's no tarovet. It's all one thing. That's the opinion of the Magen Avraham and the Marshal. But the Bi'ur Halacha disagrees, and he says, no, one can argue that peeling for sure is going to be borer. Right? Don't tell me that the skin is intrinsically part of the fruit. Because if it was, why would you be peeling it off? Logically speaking, the fact that I want to remove it is a giloi das, it's a giloi milta. It's showing that my kavana, my intention is to remove it. Thus, it's clearly something different. So the Bi'ur Halacha, right, the Chafetz Chaim writes in his longer ha'aros on the Shulchan Aruch Ramah, that unless, if you're planning to eat it immediately, you couldn't do that. Why? Because that's what psolat mina ochel, right? Even if I'm going to eat it miyad, we saw last week, right, the Torah, the Ramban, maybe if it's easier, I could remove the psolat from, the little bit of psolat from a lot of ochel. And we said no one paskins like that. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees with that. The Achronim disagree with that. So here, the Mishnah Berurah is going to say, how could you tell me that's going to be okay? This is a classic example of hotzap solat min ochel. You're removing the skins of carrot, which you don't want, in order to get to the carrot that would be prohibited, right? Based on everything we've learned till now. So how can you give me all this heter of, right, pshat seems to be like the Yerushalmi and the Beit Yosef. That's what the Bi'ur Halacha is saying. It should for sure be usher to peel, because that's called solat min ochel. The Bi'ur Halacha then continues, But Minhag HaOlam is not like that. Everyone seems to be peeling their fruits. Everyone peels their carrots before making carrot sticks. People peel their cucumbers before making a salad. How could that be? So the Bi'ur HaLacha continues and says, it appears like there's a what to be made on why? Because I don't have another way to access the food. Right? Remember we discussed, if your clothing is in for Shabbos, is in the second or third layer of your multi-layered closet, because, you know, you're living in a castle and you're a princess and you've got this gigantic walk-in closet where everything's, you know, in layers perfectly organized by color, and your Shabbos clothes are in the back. So you could go through all the layers because that's the only way to get to it. So the Bi'ur HaLacha says, maybe the same logic is going to be true here. Why? Because the only way I could get to the fruit is by removing the skin. I can't get to eating the carrot without removing the skin. So maybe if I understand that's the only way to do it, then that removal of the skin is going to be considered derech achila, because that's the way I get to the food. Just like I have to move aside and remove the first layer of clothing in my closet to get to the second and third layer, etc., or any other example. Okay? So he says maybe it's not considered psolet, right? It's going to be considered psolet, but that's derech achila because that's the only way to get to it. And thus, it's different than other cases, and it's not going to be considered boner psolet mi ochel because I'm going to eat it immediately. So the Mishnah Berurah is going to say, really, it should be usser, but everyone in the world seems to be doing otherwise, right? And as a result, it can't be that it's usser, and all of Klai Yisrael is a poshea, and they don't know halacha. It clearly must be that we have a misunderstanding. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, it must be a case where, practically speaking, it's going to be acceptable. And the reason is because that's derech achila, because I don't have another way to get to it. The Chazon Ish disagrees with this, and the Chazon Ish says, it's really nice that the Chazon Ish, part of what the Chazon Ish does, and this is what gave part of the Mishnah Berurah, it's some chut, different discussion for a different point, how the Mishnah Berurah became seemingly the posek achron for Ashkenaz as opposed to the Aruch HaShulchan or potentially other Svarim. But one of the things is, the Chazon Ish wrote Ha'aros on the Mishnah Berurah in a lot of areas, particularly in the world of Hilchos Shabbos. So in the Chazon Ish's Ha'aros on the Mishnah Berurah, he disagrees and he says, it's really nice that you're being melamed tzchus on Yisrael. It's really nice that you're trying to save and to give some like nice reason to say, oh, not everyone's poshea, they're not over Yisrael Dioraita. It must be better than that. Right? He says, to base it up the Amshel Shlomo, peeling nuts is not going to be called borer, but that's tikkun meichel, and if you're eating it immediately, that's going to be fine. But if you store it, that's aser. Okay? That doesn't make sense, because we said before that we only permit borer ochel mipsola. And thus, he says, we can only allow for the ramah derech achila samach lasuda, only in case where it's ef shar b'inyan acher, the Chazon Ish would say. The Chazon Ish would say it's aser to peel anything on Shabbos, unless it's physically impossible to do it in any other way. Okay? So in a case where there's no other way to get to the food, then you could peel it. But in a case where you have a different way to get to it, that would be acceptable. I don't know, I wanted to speak this out with someone before. I didn't get a chance to. I spoke to someone briefly at Marv about it, but I was in a little bit of a rush, so I didn't flesh out the idea. I wanted to say that based on the Chazon Ish, I can't peel a banana. Why? I could cut a banana in half and squeeze it out like those yogurts in a tube from the bottom. So maybe, I don't know if this is true, I'm not positive on this, but al panav, it would seem right, the Chazon Ish writes here at the end in Hebrew, ukfar kato aposkim delo heter, hutar rak ochel mitoch psolet, el de matino mashiter aroma, leklof samach lesuda, vahatam iyashar binyan acher, vederech achilato leklof psolet. Right, we saw that for sure you can't ever take psolet from ochel, so how can I ever peel, but the Ramah was Mekel, so it must be that the Ramah is only Mekel in a case where I physically cannot access the food in any other way. Right? Example being a coconut or a watermelon or, right, and a orange, right? You can't like cut an orange in half and like eat out the inside. I guess you can. But people don't really do that. But like a banana, generally we peel a banana, right? Whether you peel from the top or the bottom, right? Machlok at humans versus monkeys. What's the best way to peel a banana? But a banana, I can easily just take a knife, cut a banana in half and squeeze it out from the bottom. Lechora, I don't know this for sure, this is at least how I understand, the Chazon Ish would say, you can't peel a banana, you'd have to cut it in half. Or the Mishnah Berurah would say, that's how you get to the food. You remove the peel from the banana, the Mishnah Berurah would say, that's fine. The Chazon Ish seemingly would say, nah. The Shmir Shavas Kilchot of Neuvert brings down that one could peel fruits and vegetables or hard-boiled eggs because there's no other way to access the food, right? What do I have to do for a hard-boiled egg? Cut it in half and like eat out the inside of the egg from the shell. That's like really weird. Okay, so right, so long as that's the way that people do it, you could peel it. The Shemir Shabbos says, right, that's what's normally done. But he says if the peel is edible and the majority of the world eats it, right, what would be a case where the peel is edible and majority of the world eats the peel? Apples or even potatoes, right? Potato peels are for sure edible. I don't know people who eat carrot, right? People generally always peel carrots. I've never seen someone not peel a carrot. Okay?
I don't always. I mean, it depends what it's for.
Even for a soup or for like crudité, whatever it is, I've never seen anyone not peel a carrot. Okay? Plenty of times people don't peel potatoes. People don't peel, right? People don't peel potatoes. They do peel potatoes, but I don't know if the majority of potatoes are not peeled. I don't know if the majority of apples are not peeled. I'm sure. But so things where the right, it's the skin is edible and the majority of the world doesn't peel them, right? Cucumbers, skins are edible. There's a debate. Do you peel it? Do you not peel it? So in that case where it's majority of people eat it and it's not generally done, then he says you could remove it on Shabbos. And the Shmirah Shabbos says even with a peeler and even if you're going to eat it later in the day, because if the majority of the world eats the skin, then it's called ochel. And even though you want to remove it, Shmir Shabbos says you could do it for use even later in the day, even though you're not going to eat it miyad, and you could use a peeler, getting into the discussion about peeler. But he then says there's some people who are machmir and say you really shouldn't use a peeler, right? Even, right? You can't, right? But if it's a peel that majority of people don't eat, right? What's a peel that majority of people don't eat that some people do? Majority don't eat, some people do. Right, I saw someone once eat an orange with a peel. I thought he was crazy. But that's how he grew up, eating oranges.
Did he just bite into an apple?
Yeah.
But that's so messy. I have a friend who did that.
So that's a classic example of the vast majority of the world does not eat the orange with its peel. Okay? But for the guy that does, so in that case, I couldn't peel an orange because that, right? I couldn't peel it right before eating it. I couldn't use a peeler because that's going to be not normal. Okay? He says, but if it's not eaten by most people, then for sure you could, in that case, you could use your hands or a kli that's not miyucha, right? I could peel the orange with my fingers, or I could take a knife and cut off the peel, but I couldn't use a peeler. I'm not sure how a peeler really helps you too much with an orange, but let's assume, what's like a thin peel that majority of the world... Mango, great. Mango is a great example. Majority of the world does not... Great, fantastic. Majority of the world does not eat the skin of a mango, okay? And a peeler would remove the skin perfectly, right? So in that case, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchot says, because the majority of the world doesn't eat the peel is considered psolet l'kulei alma, so I couldn't use a peeler because that's a kli miyuchad l'breira. So the Shmir Shabbos has this middle ground on whether or not one could use a peeler. L'chatchila, he says, best not to. But l'maisa, ikar adin, he thinks if it's something that the rove of the world eats, you can use a peeler, such as an apple or a potato. But if it's something that the majority of people don't eat, such as mangoes or l'chora carrots, or tomatoes, then you couldn't use a peeler, you'd only be able to use a knife or your hands. That's the opinion of the Shmir Shabbos of Neubert. Okay? The Orcho Shabbos, right, Rav Gelber, Rav Petrover, and I forget who the other author is, Rav Petrover's name doesn't appear in the Sefer due to his incredible anava. Rav Petrover is a massive Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, we'll discuss him in a minute. A conversation I had with him, there was a while where I went to his house every other Motzei Shabbos we had a small group of guys from Shalvim that went to his house every other Motzei Shabbos. So his brother-in-law is Rav Gelber. He's an incredible Talmud Chacham. So Rav Gelber and someone else, Rav Gelber and Rav Rubin, that's his name, Rav Rubin wrote the Orcho Shabbos. Rav Petrover wrote the Sefer with them but refused to let them publish his name. Really, really fascinating person, Rav Petrover. He has a kola where they learn Hilcho Shabbos for 7 years. They spent 7 years just on Hilcho Shabbos. I spoke to him about it once. And he's like, my kola is for weak people. My brother-in-law, Rav Gelber, he has a kola for Hilchos Shabbos. They spent 10 years on Hilchos Shabbos. And I was like, that's awesome, but really intense. He spends 3 years on Hilchos Nida. Really awesome. He's like an otherworldly Talmud Chacham. He's an incredible... He could be... What makes him unique is he's very Haredi. I'm saying he lives in Har Nof, etc. But he also knows everything about, like, any author on any book. He knows all of their biographical sketches and everything about them, like the history of when and where everything takes place. It's incredible. I know someone whose cousins with him or his wife or whatever went to visit him once, and his house looks like a library. He has bookshelves everywhere, right? Over the doorways, he has bookshelves hanging. Incredible house. It looks like it's a small apartment, but thousands of svarim. And my friend's brother-in-law was a little kid at Tennessee. He asked his father, does Uncle Moshe know every book in here? And he knows everything inside out. Otherworldly Talmud Chacham. And he's Petrov overheard this. And I don't know every book, but I could tell you the name and the birthplace and like life about every single author in my house. And I was like, that's really impressive and really cool. Point is, that's a little bit about Rav Petcher. We'll quote him in a minute. Okay, the Rosh Hashanah writes that if the majority of people eat the peel, then you could peel them even not samach lasuda, right? I'm going to have an apple in the afternoon, right? You know your kid loves apples. And eventually he's going to ask you for an apple. And right now you have 5 minutes. Can I peel an apple so that it's ready for the kid when he'll want it in the afternoon? That would be fine because the peel is considered edible, like we said earlier. Okay? But he says, if you're an istinus, right, you're someone who has this, like, personal kpeda. I cannot eat vegetable peels. I cannot eat the peels of a fruit. Then for sure, you can't, right? Because then you can only do it samach lasuda. Because for you, the peel is never going to be considered food. The peel is 100% psola and for sure going to be prohibited. And he says, you should, right, you can never use a peeler, right, even immediately samach to the suda, because he says a peeler is called a kli miyuchad librera. Whereas in Rav Ovadia says, right, it's mutter l'chatchila to peel fruits and vegetables when the peels are attached, if they're generally eaten, such as potatoes and cucumbers. And you could use a peeler because a peeler is going to be true. And he says the same thing regarding chicken skin. If, let's say, you have like a thigh or a polky and you don't like the skin, Rav Ovadia says there's no problem to peel the skin off, right, as you're eating it. You pull the skin off. We would have thought that's psola from ochel. No, it's attached. Some people eat it, some people don't. Definitely not a problem. I don't know anyone who uses like a fruit peeler for their chicken skins, but to just push it off aside with your fork, Rav Ovadia says that's no problem because there's plenty of people who eat it, and that's fine. The Menuchas Ava, though, disagrees, and he says, right, he said you can only, right, a peeler is mutter lechatchila. The Menuchas Ava, Rav Moshe Halevi, he was nifter very, very early. He was nifter in his 40s. He'd written four volumes on Shabbos, Menuchat Ava, 5 volumes on Hilchos Brachos, Berkat Hashem, 2 volumes on Hilchos Ribbis, Malve Hashem, I think it's called, and he has a few volumes of Shalos and Shuvos, passed away very, very young. I think they say Rav Ovadia sat Shiva for him because it was such a loss for Klal Yisrael at such a young age that Rav Ovadia actually sat Shiva. I could be wrong on that, but that's how I recall. So he says it's mutter to use a peeler because it's not a peeler. It's not a kli miyuchad librera. It's just a knife in a funky fashion, right? It's like those butter knives that have little holes in them that help it peel the butter easier. Peel the butter? I don't know what the term is. To scrape the butter, it has like these little holes that help remove the butter so it's more spreadable. So that's not called a kli miyuchad. That's just a fancy knife. It's a knife in a weird shape. So he holds it, no problem. Rav Petchever, Shlita, he told me that the Mishnah Berurah would allow removing the psula with a little bit of ochel. But thus, the Mishnah Berurah would never allow using a peeler. Because when I take a vegetable peeler and I peel my mango or my apple or my carrot, it doesn't take really any of the vegetable with it or the fruit with it. It really gets just the skin and the very bare minimum of the fruit with it. It doesn't even get anything that's nicker. So as a result, Rav Petchever said, the Mishnah Berurah would for sure aser the peeler. Whether it's a kli miyuchad or not, it's going to be problematic because you don't take anything with it. It's not like when you're removing the fly with some of the soup. That's not the case when you use a vegetable peeler. And thus, he says, if you actually remove, though, a significant amount of the skin with it, right? Like you use a vegetable peeler and sometimes like you push down really, really hard, you could get like a layer of the fruit or vegetable, then maybe it would be okay for the Mishnah Berurah. But if you use it regularly, right, where you're just kind of without like putting a lot of pressure, that for sure, he said, would be usser. And Rav Batat also thought that for sure you can't use a peeler because that is a kli miyuchad librera, and that would be true even for someone who generally uses a knife. I remember once when I was younger, I was making apple pie with my grandmother, Alav Shalom, and I remember I went to the drawer to take out a peeler and gave it to my grandmother, and my grandmother's like, bring me a knife. Like, what do you have this stupid contraption for? And I was like, to peel apples. She's like, it's easier, it's faster to use a knife. Just give me a knife. And I was like, okay. And so my grandmother, she didn't use a peeler, right? She would use a knife. So Rav Batat said, even for someone who generally uses a knife, it's a peeler is objectively called a kli miyuchad librera, that would be a problem, and that's why that's going to be a problem. Any questions on this so far, or can we move on?
What about zesting?
Zesting is going to be a problem, both. It's going to be a problem, it's a tochen. Because with zest, you inherently want the peel, right? You want the lemon peel or the orange peel, because that's what's giving flavor to your cake. I'm not sure when you would ever zest on Shabbos. People generally zest for baking. Do people zest for dressings? It's a little bit of the rind where you cut it up into small pieces.
The citrus fruits have a white part of the peel and a colored part.
So just the colored part.
Get off the colored part.
So to be honest, I don't really eat salad dressing, so I don't know, and thus I've never made salad dressing. I've zested plenty of times when I'm making like a cake and you want a little bit of orange zest or lemon zest, etc. in it. But you'd have a problem there of tochen, to cut it up into such small pieces would definitely be a problem. But mitzad borer, you're right, it wouldn't be a problem because there I inherently want the peel to use. So for borer, I don't have an issue, but I'll have a tochen problem. I don't know, when I zest, I don't use a peeler, I just use a knife.
No, you use a knife.
I don't use a zester. My wife thought I was weird when she saw me cutting up, I was making an orange cake a while ago, and she's like, why are you not using the like zester we have in the drawer? I was like, because it's easier just to like take a little thin trim with a knife and cut it up. And she thought I was weird, but I don't know, that's just me. I also don't use garlic. I hate garlic presses. Just take a knife and cut up garlic. For me, that's more of the garlic presses. A, I don't think it does a good job. B, it's impossible to clean. It's annoying as heck to wash the little garlic peelers. I'd rather just use a knife. But I'm weird about these things. I don't know. As I said, I don't judge social norms and what people do based on my own actions. Okay, what about rinsing fruits and vegetables, right? We're going to talk about borer. What's going to happen, right? You have like a potato and it's covered in dirt, or you have lettuce. Lettuce, washing lettuce is, and other things is going to be a different discussion. Not as much mitzad borer, but it's going to be a problem because if we assume that there's a cheskat nagua, right? There's a row of lettuce has bugs in it. So when I soak the lettuce, then I have a chazaka that I'm going to be killing some of the bugs. And then I might have an isser of, no, it's on the shema, of killing on Shabbos. So let's leave lettuce out of the picture here. Things that are bechazaka of nagua that we assume have bugs in them. Let's go with things that are generally dirty that we eat normally, right? Potatoes are generally very dirty. Zucchinis are often very, very dirty. What other things are like... generally, what other things are really, really dirty generally that we get? Mushrooms are generally, right? Mushrooms are generally very dirty, right? Things like that that you would never eat, right? You would never eat a potato without washing it. It's very dirty. Or things that have very high levels of pesticides, right? Something like, there's so many pesticides on it, that would be a problem to wash on Shabbos maybe because no one would eat it without washing it because of the dirt or the pesticides. So the Mishnah... and in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Amud Aleph and Rashi there explain, right, that you cannot soak vegetables in a bowl in order to remove the dirt, right? You can't soak them. I can't take a big bowl of water. I stick all my vegetables in. I let them sit there for a while. What happens when I stick a bunch of dirty potatoes in a bucket of water? The dirt's going to separate. That's going to be usher on Shabbos because that's a maisa brera. That's how people generally during the week, when you're washing a large amount of vegetables, you let them soak, right? That's one of the ways you clean lettuce is you soak it with soap water, etc. And how you clean, right, the bugs and the dirt. So that's going to, soaking it is going to be a problem on Shabbos. The Mishnah then says, I also can't scrub them. Right? If I scrub it, I really, you know, you take like one of those potato brushes and you're getting at it, that's going to be a problem because that's a maisa brera. That's how I remove the dirt from the vegetable. Okay? So he says, but what can you do? The Mishnah says, you could take your vegetables, put them in like a mesh basket or a sieve of some sort, run some running water over it, right? Take it in the river and go like that. That's going to be okay. Yeah. That would be a problem of borer when it comes to sifting things. But here, I'm just using it as something that's going to let the water come through. Also, I'm keeping the ochel, right? By using a strainer, what am I doing? I'm keeping in my hands all the food. The dirty water is dripping through. So all the psolet is going away. I'm taking the ochel. Whereas when I'm soaking it, that's not necessarily the case because the ochel is what's coming out. The psolet, sorry, is coming up. Whereas with the strainer, the psolet's going is being drained away, and the fruits are coming up.
So then, why don't we use like slotted spoons?
Slotted spoons, because slotted spoons might be a klim yuchel lebrera. I did not put slotted spoons on the koros. That is a problem. The general reason, the machloket about slotted spoons, the general opinion is for something that has liquid, you can't use slotted spoons because what happens? Right? You want to take the piece of chicken. You want the chicken to sit in the sauce to get the flavor. You don't want your plate to have all the sauce on it. That's what slotted spoons are great for. You pick up your chicken, you put it on your plate, l'chaim, you don't get all the sauce. Okay, so slotted spoons are generally going to be considered a klim yuchel lebrera because of that.
Isn't a strainer also klim yuchel lebrera? That's the only thing it's good for.
Correct, but here I'm just using it as a way to hold my vegetables to wash them. As in, I'm not doing a maisa brera with them. It's just preventing, right? It's like the grate at the bottom of your sink. There's discussion. Is the little thing that catches all the gook in my sink, is that going to be a problem of borer? the little strainer at the bottom of the sink. There's discussion about that. But let's continue here because we're short on time and I want to finish the Makoros tonight. Let's do it. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch Halacha L'Maisa Paskins like this Mishnah. You can't soak vegetables in a kli. And you also can't scrub them, but you can put them in a basket and that's going to be fine. The Mishnah Berurah writes on this, that the reason for this is the Mishnah was talking about animal fodder, right? It's calling about, the Mishnah was discussing, krushnin, right? This sort of like this, it's like a grassy type, I don't remember exactly what the term is in English. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I would have thought the Mishnah is only discussing animal fodder, which is not roi l'achilas adam. But the Mishnah Berurah said that applies to our human food also, right? The same question of washing vegetables applies with potatoes and apples and everything else that you would rinse. That's going to be true. Rav Moshe, the Igros Moshe, wrote that if something's filthy, right? No one ever eats it because it's super dirty, right? Like zucchini, or if you like ever go like, if you ever, I don't know if you guys, I guess, probably not during quarantine, but people often go down to the Negev for a tiul. It's called Shvila Salat, where you get to pluck all kinds of vegetables if anyone's done that on previous trips. So when you like pull a carrot out of the ground, it's covered in dirt. When you like celery, often is very dirty. Potatoes are dirty. So Rav Moshe says, if something's very dirty or dusty, then you can't wash it on Shabbos because that's going to be borer, just like you can't soak it. You also can't rinse it off because that's something that everyone's going to soak. That's very dirty. Okay? And even though the Minhag Olam is people aren't makbid, right? Generally, we see people rinsing vegetables, washing vegetables on Shabbos. The Minhag Olam is not to be machmir. People eat it, plan to eat it immediately. And so Rav Moshe says, the reason why it must be is because the prohibition is removing psolat miochel, even if you're going to eat it immediately. But because the food is dirty, he says, it's similar then to the case where I'm peeling it, right? I need to remove the dirt in order to eat it. Just like I'm removing the peel in order to get to the food, Rav Moshe says he's being down the kavshchot on the Minhag Olam to wash fruits and vegetables, even when they're dirty, Rav Moshe says, because that's like removing a peel. That's the only way I could eat it. I can't eat this filthy, dirt-covered apple unless I rinse it off. So you're allowed to rinse it off. Rav Moshe's down the kavshchot. He says, really, Mikra, then I would have thought no. But because the Minhag Olam is to allow it, is to do so, it must be because it's like the peel. This is called derech achila. This is how I eat it. And thus it would only apply to do that right before I eat it. Right? They have a really dirty apple. I can rinse it off, but only before I'm about to eat it. But Rav Moshe says, in most cases, when you don't actually need to wash it, you rinse it off to like be on the safe side. I'm afraid, you know, people have touched it in the supermarket. I don't know what's passed over. You know, you're like, oh no, it's gonna be covered in like all these pesticides. To be honest, rinsing it off doesn't remove pesticides. You see all these videos, people like dipping apples in boiling water to remove the wax. Big discussion about wax in Chutz La'aretz. It's often made. The wax on apples is made from treif derivatives. I'm not sure what the whole sig is, but often the glaze they put on apples is treif. And some posts can say you have to always peel apples unless you know for a fact that it's kosher. The wax on it. Interesting discussion. I don't remember all the mitzvahs of what it's made from, but it's like real wax that they make that's treif in some apples. Ayin Sham with the mitzvahs in different places. So Moshe says in the case where people are just going to rinse off their apples to be on the safe side, then there would not be a problem. You could wash it. Okay? That wouldn't be a problem. The Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenburg says that what, the microphone's off. I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. The Rav Waldenberg writes in Tzitz Eliezer that one should be extra careful not to have fruits in a bowl of water and then rinse them off, right? Don't fill the bucket and put it under the sink. Rather, Rav Waldenberg says you should hold them, right? If you hold an apple, you hold the carrot, and you run it under, you're holding it in your hand as water runs on it, that's mutar l'chatchila. So he says, don't ever get to a case where you're putting it in a bowl underwater, just hold it in your hand, and then l'kulei alma, you're fine. The whole discussion is dafka, soaking it and rinsing it in a kli. That's the opinion of Rav Waldenberg, okay? And so too, if it's in your hand, you could even scrub it with your fingers, right? You could scrub it, the dirty spot, with your fingers, because the whole discussion, Rav Waldenberg says, the Mishnah is discussing when it's soaking in a kli. But if it's in my hand, Tzitz Eliezer, that's mutar l'chatchila, no problem. Okay? And he says, and not only that, the Minhag Olam, people aren't machmir about washing vegetables, so just do it in your hand, it's fine. Tzitz Eliezer is definitely, it makes perfect sense. It's not arguing on the Mishnah, right? Rav Moshe is coming and explaining why the Mishnah doesn't apply, Minhag Olam, etc. Tzitz Eliezer fits perfectly in the Mishnah. Really, I think the Tzitz Eliezer makes a lot of sense. The Shevet Alevi says that people can rinse fruit in a normal way that they would rinse it off. But if it's like really, really dirty that no one would eat it without rinsing, right? There's like real grime on it. There's like clumps of dirt in the potato, as sometimes happens. Then it would be usher to eat it. You really cannot do so ever. Okay? on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman also writes, the minhag olam is not to be careful, is to rinse them off. Even though halakha would seem to say otherwise, right? Same question as Rav Moshe asks, right? I don't get it. How is everyone doing this? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it must be that cleaning off the dirt is not called borer. Rather, it's allowed as long as there's not a lot, right? Similar idea as the Shevet Alevi. We're going to allow it in a case where there's not a lot of buildup, right? Any normal amount of just dust, or it's, you rinse it off just because, you know, you always rinse it off. That's going to be fine. And so just brought down the Shemir Shabbos is going to be that, you know, you could do things that the majority of the world would eat without rinsing. But if it's something that's so dirty that you would never eat, that's for sure going to be usur. But you'd be allowed to do it only samach l'suda. You could only do it right before the suda. That's the opinion of Rav Neuver. But he says, even if it's filthy, I could wash, I could, you know, hit it with my hand, or I could take like a dry cloth. So long as there's no water, then there's no problem here. You're just kind of wiping off the dust. That's going to be fine. Rav Avadia, and Rav Yitzchak Yosef, his son, and Rav Moshe Levi in the Menuchas Ava say that you could rinse off fruits and vegetables and water. No question. It's fine. Even if it's so dirty that no one would ever eat them. That is the opinion of Rav Avadia, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, and Rav Moshe Levi. Sfardim for sure. No problem. Okay. We shift now from the world of fruits and vegetables, and we enter now with the last two things in the Makoro sheet, Brita pitchers, and then we'll get, after Brita pitchers, to tea bags. Okay? Brita pitchers, right? We have a filter. I pour water into the filter. The water then drips down through the filter, etc. It goes through a process of filtration. What's going to be the halacha for using a filter on Shabbos? Can I do that or not? What about water bottles where there's like a little filter in the straw? Okay? What about I have an osmosis filter on my entire house? Differences between, as we mentioned this earlier, charcoal filters versus osmosis filters versus reverse osmosis filters and all the other kinds of filters that exist out there. I'm sure there's dozens of others. I'm not sure what the different kinds are, etc. But they exist, and there's going to be shilohs of borer that come up as a result of it. So the whole discussion, I didn't bring it here because I wanted to keep it short. We'll stick a more halacha l'maisa for this as we round up. But the whole discussion in the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, Rishonim, right? There's differences between if I pour the food through, I pour the water, let's say, over the dregs of grapes. Is that going to be borer? What about if I pour the water on top of, I have a whole stack of reeds and like, and twigs, etc. And the water is going to drip through them, and that's going to filter out all of the other, all of the gook and all this, the pebbles or flies that are in the water, right? We're dealing historically, they were taking well water. So when I take up water from the well, we paskin that you need to strain it first to make sure there's no bugs. As Chava mentioned earlier, right? There's Isurei D'oraita, 5-6 Isurei D'oraita per bug. So you want to make sure your water is clean. Otherwise, you know, you drink a cup of water, you make a shahako, you might as well, you know, kiss Olam Haba away. You just drink hundreds of bugs. Okay? There went Olam Haba in one cup of water. Okay? That's going to be a problem. So there's a discussion there, maybe, but what's going to be the din when, let's say, I take a t-shirt, right? You do this on a hike. You run out of water on a hike. You want to take water from the river. How do you do that? You want to make sure it's clean. So you take your t-shirt, you put it over the mouth of your bottle, you stick it under the water. The t-shirt then filters out all types of gook that are going to come in. Right? It filters out the sediment and the fish and the rocks, etc. You just get the water. And then when you drink it, this only works with clean water. If you're dealing with like Indian water, etc., or you're in South Africa, etc., definitely don't do this. Right? They have different discussion. Okay, practical tips of hiking. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses what's going to be the case if I drink the water through the t-shirt. Right? I take a cup of water. It's dirty. So I can't pour it through my filter. But what if I put the filter on the mouth of the bottle and I drink through the t-shirt? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says that would be mutter. Why? That's derech akila. The psolet's staying back. Then the food is coming into my mouth. That's going to be mutter. So too, the Shmir Shabbos brings down that one, you could use a sink where there's a filter attached to the faucet of a sink. Why? Because the clean water is coming out, the psalot's staying away. I'm taking the ochel from the kli. Okay? From it. And so too, you can use pour water through a filter in order to clean it from its filth. Because what's coming out is the ochel. That's taking ochel and the psalot's staying behind. Okay? The Shemir Shabbos continues. But what about a person? Right, you're like that guy who would never drink tap water. I only drink bottled water. Tap water is not good enough for me. Okay? You're like that person who only drinks water from a filtration system or bottled water. So for you, that you can never use a filter on Shabbos because you're machmir about it. The minute you insist, I will only drink tap water, I will only drink bottled water or filtered water, then you can never use a filter on Shabbos because you're machmir about it. That's going to be a problem. Okay, so don't be that person, both for monetary reasons, right? Bottled water is like the biggest ripoff under the sun. And two, you don't want to run into this issue of then never being able to use a filter on Shabbos. This is going to be an interesting discussion. I spoke about this with someone a few years ago. I don't remember what we said. We said Lamaisa. But what if let's say I'm Mac, but I only drink tap water. And I'm at someone's house where they filtered water. They have a Brita pitcher. Maybe I can't drink the water. They filtered it beheter. But for me, it's Isser. Maybe I can't use it. Not sure exactly what we would say halacha l'maisa in that case. Interesting discussion. Or they know a makbid, but they filter it for themselves, knowing that I'll also drink it. That's going to be an interesting discussion. Not really for now. Okay. So he says, unless you're direct, but he says even someone who's makbid, you could drink it directly from the sink, right? What if I, like, instead of putting into a cup from the Brita pitcher, from the sink, I would stick my head under the faucet, that would be okay. Because the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say you could drink the dirty water directly from a vessel with the cloth placed on top of it. So you could drink, you know, stick your mouth right under the faucet, that would be okay, but I couldn't put it in a cup and then drink from it. Okay, because the minute I pour it into a cup, that's going to be a Maisa Borerlikli. That's the opinion Because then, when you're drinking from a cup with a cloth poured over it, that's called drinking, and that's not called brera. Okay, the Orchel Shabbos writes that if the water was clean and drinkable for the majority of people without a filter, then you can use it on Shabbos, even though it's a kli miyuchad lekach. Just as we said right before, there were some opinions regarding using a peeler, right? The Shmir Shabbos, you could only use a peeler for something that most people would eat, but if people wouldn't eat it, then you can't use a peeler. So too, the Orchel Shabbos says if it's drinkable water that the majority of people eat, right? Most people drink Israeli tap water. I don't know in like South Africa if most people drink the tap water. Or in India, do most people drink the tap water? I don't think so. I don't actually know. But in a place like that where the majority don't drink it, then it would be a problem. You couldn't filter it. But in a place where a majority do, that's fine. He mentions that's also betanai that it's a non-electric filter. If it's a filter that's going to work on electricity, that's going to be a problem. Okay? And he says, right? But then he says, regarding unfiltered water, filter, right? If you're an Isthmus, you only drink filtered water. So he says, Rav Yashiv and Rav Vosner, and we saw earlier the Shmir Shabbos, say you can never drink it, right? If you only drink filtered water, the minute you filter water, that's going to be Aser for you. Whereas he says, Rav Nissim Karelet and Rav Shmuel Orbach held that it would be Mutter. Rav Avadia says that you can filter water on Shabbos, unless it's really cloudy and it's not drinkable. If it's not drinkable but in advance, then you can't drink it. We mentioned it before, different types of filters. There's a lot of debate. What's the din on a charcoal filter, right? I don't know if we mention charcoal filters in a previous year. Yeah. We'll mention it here very, very quickly. Metzias is, I have general tap water that's drinkable. Charcoal filters, the water then mixes in with the charcoal, that it kills bacteria, whatever, all the great things about charcoal filters that they say, why it's so good for you and healthy, etc. Okay? When it's mixed in with the charcoal, I'll never drink it because you never drink black charcoal-filled water. But it comes out even cleaner. So do I look at the water as if it was drinkable when it came in? Or do I say the minute it was not drinkable at a certain point, it's the middle stage, thus I can never drink about it? Big machloket about different types of metzias on filters. So if you're ever planning to install a filter in your house, or something like that, you should check out the metzias. What's the exact case at hand? Is it going to be a borer problem or not? Such as, you know, putting a charcoal filter might really be a problem, according to certain poskim, whereas in a reverse osmosis filter, I don't think would be a problem, according to anyone. I could be wrong, and you need to double-check the metzias on how they work. Okay? Last thing we're going to get to, and this we're going to finish out our discussions on melachah borer, is going to be, what's going to be the case regarding tea bags, right? I take a tea bag, not dealing with tea bags in Bishul. Let's say I pre-cooked my tea bag, and I'm dealing with a clear Revi'i for the Chazon Ish, etc., not discussing Bishul. Can I take it, I made my cup of tea. Or let's say you made a cup of tea be'isser, right? You boiled the water, you poured the water on the tea bag, l'kulei alma, it's an isser dioraita. And now I'm like, shoot, but I can't remove my tea bag. Why can't I remove the tea bag? Because it's a strainer. When I lift up the tea bag, the water drips out. That water I want, right? That's part of my tea. But what did I just take out? I took out the leaves, and I don't want the leaves anymore. The leaves are just, you know, gooky and gross. I don't want the leaves in the tea bag. So I just took out the leaves. So what's going to be the din? How can I remove a tea bag on Shabbos? So Shmira Shabbos mentions, Rav Neuwirth says, that you can remove a tea bag. How? You take a spoon. Why? What's the Mishnah Berurah going to say? If I take a spoon and I remove the tea, I lift out the tea bag with a little bit of water, with a little bit of tea, then that's just like removing the fly with a little bit of soup. So the Shmir Shabbat says really what you should do is lift out the tea bag with a spoon. That's going to be the best way to do it. And then you're not dealing with a case where when I take it out, the water is going to drip down. That's going to be a Maaseh Berurah. That's the opinion of the Shmir Shabbat. That seems to be the majority opinion. Rav Ovadia disagrees, and he says, no, there's no chashash for Berurah here. It's not a problem. Rav Ovadia says you could even though liquid's going to drip down, there's no chashash, it's not Berurah. Rather, it happens on its own. You're just trying to take the tea bag out of your water, out of your tea. If a few drops drip down, that's like nothing you ever intended. That's not a Maaseh Berurah. With that, Baruch Hashem, we've gone through a lot of the Lamaisa issues that came up in the world of Berurah. We've discussed a lot of different things. Remember, the Ikar is Miyad Biyad L'Achila. With those big three klalim, we can walk into literally almost every situation that comes up in Hilchos Shabbos regarding Berurah, and take something from an Isser D'oraita and make it Mutar L'Chatchila, so long as I have these three Tanaim for immediate usage. I'm using my hands, or a fork and knife is considered a extension of your hand, unlike a Kli Miyuchad. Okay, and I'm taking the good from the bad. That's really our Yikar, right? We saw lots of different discussions about what's going to be considered, what are different types of Kalim, what's going to be the definition of immediate usage, what's going to be considered, right, taking the food from the bad, taking the bad from the good, what's going to be the definition of a mixture. Lots of fun, interesting Lamaisa issues that range everything from board games to playing cards to taking out your clothing on Shabbos, to putting away the dishes and the silverware, to I want to wash my apple, I want to peel my apple, etc. And with that, Bezrat Hashem, we've gone through a lot of Hilchos Berurah, and moving on next week, we'll continue on our next Malacha. I don't remember exactly, I said before, which one we're going to do, but Bezrat Hashem will continue, and if anyone has any questions, let's go for it.